Let's ask Simon Garlick. He's the CEO of the Fremantle Dockers, and he joins us on the phone now. Simon, it's good to talk to you. I suspect that you've been busy trying to think about the answers to these questions. Let's start, shall we, with the Derby. It's a home game for your club, so how will the ticketing for this fixture work?
Hi, Russell. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, you're right. It's obviously all relatively fresh. The amazing thing about the work through this period has been the need to shift from one major issue or challenge or opportunity to the next. And to be frank, fixture allocations are usually the most important thing at around that time. But to be honest, earlier this week, we were just making sure that we could get back to WA, get a certain certainty around that date, what the quarantine conditions would be that would be required to undertake, and then worry about who and when we were playing and where we were playing from there. But obviously, you know, fantastic news and really fortunate for it to be our home game. So working through all that detail at the moment, Russell, the most exciting thing from our perspective, obviously, is being able to play footy at Optus Stadium in front of our members and fans, and that's the biggest point. You guys have been across our Forever campaign, and we've just been amazed by the support of our members, who it's got to be noted and remembered, have a vast number of them have pledged their 2020 membership fee with us at a point in time where there was no guarantee of, not only no guarantees of games, but in reality, extreme unlikely likelihood of games being played. So to do that at that point in time, the best thing about this news is that we're going to be able to reward those fans who helped us during this really challenging period. So all of those people who did what we call as a platinum pledge will have access to the game automatically. We're contacting them over the next week to make sure they know all the details. And then working through priority access for others and for people who haven't had the opportunity yet to do so, and how we can make sure we get them into the game as best as possible.
And Simon, for those the platinum pledge, for those that said keep the membership, the money's yours,
yes.
You get your seats, you'll be able to
go to
all those home games. For those who said, look, you know, maybe keep my money as a credit.
Is that
for
a
next
personal
year.
Question?
No, not at all. Maybe for Russell,
okay.
though. No.
Yeah.
But for those who said, okay,
yes.
Here's a $100 donation, but maybe give, I'll take my money back, or you can have it as credit for next year. Do you know what will happen with those members?
Yeah, as you know, Nadia, we've put a whole host of options to all of our membership base. So there's varying degrees, but essentially anyone who is able to help us in some way will get priority access. It's not guaranteed based on the level that they are able to assist us with, but we're working through those different levels, if you like, and ensuring that anyone who was able to assist us absolutely gets priority access before these tickets go on sale to the general public.
Simon, does that also include people that were just able to cough up $100 to become a Forever Freo member?
Yes, it does. It does.
Okay. Because Russell, who's a West Coast Eagles member, is a priority member. He's a Freo Forever member now, Simon, and I'll need to talk to you about
Hello, Simon.
Whether we need to refund his membership. And once we've had that priority period for members, then obviously the general public then have an opportunity to buy
That's
tickets.
Right.
What about the pricing? For those who will be buying tickets for the game that aren't members or, you know, aren't that platinum, do you expect the price of tickets will increase?
It'll be consistent with what derbies have been in previous years, Nadia. So the AFL introduced a fair while ago a flexible ticketing system for games that had really high demand and those that perhaps didn't, that you could actually have a variable approach to it. We're not going to do anything that is inconsistent with what we've done in the past. I know the Derby's always attracted clearly a really significant amount of interest, so there's been a slight increase on what a standard game day ticket would be. We'll just be in line with what the practice has been in previous years.
Just what would that be, that price, a standard ticket?
I couldn't tell you exactly.
Roughly?
Exactly what the actual number is.
$40? Something like that?
Yeah. Look, yeah. I'm
I know
a bit late to say the exact number,
right.
Given I haven't
okay.
got absolute detail. Yeah.
What about, can I ask you, say if you're a Freo Docker member and you're playing Geelong at the WA Hub, but it may not be a Freo home game necessarily, even though it's played here. You know, do we know yet how that's going to look or work for local supporters of either of the two teams?
Not as yet. It's a good question. Look, we'd imagine that most of the games that we play in WA at Optus Stadium will be categorised as our home games.
Yeah.
We've had one away game, if you like, that's been categorised as our home game last week against Port here at Metricon. However, you know, I think like to think the vast majority will be allocated as our home game, so we can click into sort of normal practice, if you like, for our members who've been able to support us this year. So there's some familiarity and consistency with the way we approach it. In the event, we haven't been advised that yet, so obviously we only know it's around seven, but in the event there is a away game, we'll be able to communicate to all of our members to ensure they'll get in, because clearly there's not going to be a lot of people travelling from the eastern states to watch Geelong or Collingwood or other Melbourne-based teams. So there'll be capacity for us to look after our members.
What about, will your members get a preference over others for games that consist of the two visiting teams? So for the Friday night fixture here, Geelong-Collingwood, will Frio and West Coast be given priority to be a part of that 30,000, do you imagine?
It's a great question, Russell. We haven't worked through that detail as yet. It's obviously an incredibly unique scenario.
We've got two
non-Western Australian teams. Reduced capacity, obviously, but still 30,000 is a great opportunity for us to, as Nadia mentioned in the intro, as a bit of a hub or a central point for all things AFL footy. So we're looking forward to working through what that looks like, just so we can get as many people enjoying the footy as we can. I'm fascinated by it. We talked about the centre of the AFL universe. In a funny sort of a way, we're going to be the centre of the sporting universe, because nowhere else globally are we going to have stadiums with, you know, virtually any people, let alone 60,000. So I think it's just going to be a great time for WA as a state. You know, clearly the Premier and the state government and the community have done such an amazing job, and it's really unique from a global level that we're going to be able to, potentially, fingers crossed, things change pretty quickly these days, but as it's planned currently, have 60,000, up to 60,000 people at a game of sport's going to be, you know, a phenomenal fill-up for the state.
19 to 9 on ABC Radio Perth and WA. You're listening to Simon Garlick, the CEO of the Fremantle Dockers. The last time we spoke to you, Simon, we were talking about the fact that a lot of your staff were on JobKeeper and been stood down for a couple of months, that you were going to probably have to go to the AFL to ask for a loan. What sort of financial lifeline do these home games provide for the club now?
It's really significant, Nadia. It's something that we hadn't factored in, that we would have done conservatively, I think, in the hundreds of different scenarios from a cash flow forecasting perspective, just given the levels of uncertainty from a not only a week-to-week perspective, but a day-to-day. Over the last, I'd say the last 4 weeks, we've been working through what our future looks like without any game day ticket sales, so no match day tickets, as well as vastly reduced membership income as well, along with merchandise and everything else that goes along with match day footy. So that's going to, you know, look different now, the fact that we're all going to be able to host teams and supporters in at the footy for the foreseeable future.
Will you need a loan from the AFL now?
I was just about to say, it's not an absolute panacea, because there's still, the reality is we're at about half of our originally forecast membership revenue that we were planning, about $18 million. We're about halfway. So it's a significant gap for an organisation that has a large fixed cost base model. So I think the reality is too, I mentioned last night on a different story, that we also understand that a lot of our members, as you said in the start, have been able to make a smaller contribution or have asked for credits for next year. Need to remember that credits are fantastic, because it allows us to get cash in this year that we wouldn't have otherwise, but it also means that it impacts next financial year. So this challenge that the whole industry is facing is going to be a multi-year challenge. This isn't something confined to 2020. It's going to go beyond, just by the way that we're managing it. It's the best way to do it, but we're going to have challenges beyond. So we'll, I think, most certainly still have to avail ourselves to AFL assistance at some point. But what this does is it throws that further down the road. That'll extend our period of time where we can remain unassisted, which is really important for us.
That said, Simon, I mean, if it plays out that WA now remain, the two WA teams remain home, that's 11 home games, which is what you get in a normal full season. There's very few clubs that are going to get that advantage. It may be unique to the West Australian clubs that that we get, you know, a full revenue on board. Your membership is going to rise as of this morning. A win this weekend will push that even further. You know, there's the potential for the two WA clubs to do better than others.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It won't be 11 home games based on it being a 17-round season. As you said, we'll have a couple of home games here or there. So, scattered elsewhere across the country at some point. So, at this stage, I think we'll be conservative again, but it'll probably be 5 to 6 home games. As you know, this can change at the blink of an eye if there's some sort of challenge we have from a community health perspective that might get taken away from us. So we're not going to get too far ahead of ourselves. But you set the central tenet of your comments exactly right, Russell. If we have it progress as we hope, it's going to be a fillip for us that unfortunately other clubs potentially in some of the eastern states won't be able to access.
Two more very quick questions, Simon, before we let you go. Should Perth host the grand final?
Well, it's a fascinating one, Ali. There's certainly justification for it in the event that no one can go to a game at the MCG, if that's still the case when the grand final's played. And if the contrast is that we can fill up the stadium, then there's some real logic to it. The challenge to it is, contracts in place and long-standing agreements that have it guaranteed at the MCG for a period of time. But we're not living in a normal time. Global health pandemics can obviously impact these sort of things. So you'd like to think that there'd be an openness to it. And clearly, from a WA point of view, it'd be fantastic. And you'd like the prospect of having a grand final with a reduced capacity or no crowd compared to one having it with a full rocking up Optus Stadium that's clearly, one of, if not the best stadium in the world, it's pretty tantalising. I think you'd have to look closely at it.
Wouldn't it be just? And finally, Connor McKenna from the Bombers has now recorded 2 negative tests for coronavirus since his positive test at the weekend. Does that concern you? And are there now legitimate concerns about the reliability of the AFL's testing regime?
Oh, look, I understand that it creates a level of uncertainty in relation to it, but I think it hasn't, rocked our confidence in the process and protocols. In a funny sort of way, it has probably reaffirmed them, because what we'd seen is that Essendon had actually done a terrific job in following the protocols that the AFL had put in place that are all based around the potential of a positive test. Now, we've obviously seen that, this may have been a false positive, I think the term is, but what it did show, when everything was pointing to it being an actual positive and it was being treated that way, that Essendon were able to actually separate the two players who were likely impacted and move on with the rest of the season. So in a funny sort of way, it's reaffirmed the importance of all of the clubs who are all doing a fantastic job, and whether that's the protocols that they follow in terms of the twice weekly testing, daily screening, videoing in every session, that are all put in place for the event that there is a positive test, we can actually separate or quarantine, if you like, anyone who might be impacted by it, and allows the season to go on. Not that anyone was relaxing, but at times, particularly whether it be in WA, we're over here in the Gold Coast at the moment, where the infection rates from a community perspective are very low, sometimes there's naturally a bit of a relaxation, that we'll be okay. It wasn't intended, but maybe it's had a good impact for us that helps us get the season away.
Yeah.